Thanks, Colin. Thanks, all of you. Today, I'd like to talk about a project entitled In Situ Evaluation of a Visible Near Infrared Penetrometer for Soil Characterization. Here, a brief outline. First, I will show the design and a lab test that we want to do before going to the field to test the effectiveness of the design. And then the in situ field calibration of the visible near infrared part of the penetrometer, and also a preliminary data of insertion force calibration and restricted soil layer. So here is the design, and actually the most limiting factor of the design was the size. So the internal diameter of this main probe housing is 1.3 centimeters, so really small. We were able to locate the light, actually, close down in the main probe, so close to the soil. And this allows to avoid chance of losses of light, but also it helps to devote all the fiber optic to collect the reflectance. And also the configuration of the two mirrors helps to block the light, the source light, to eating the fiber optic. But we see that if we increase the angle of the light mirror until 67, that is the maximum allowed from inside the inside of a probe housing, we could decrease the backscattering and so having a more clean reflectance. For what concerns the insertion first part, the first prototype had a tip angle of 60 degrees that was the ASTM standard, but we saw with a load cell of 1,000 pounds force, but we saw that with this characteristic we max out during the dry season, we max out immediately, and we also pushing up the truck or whatever we were using. So we decide to decrease the angle and so make it longer, and also increase the capacity of the load cell. So before going to the field, we want to test the contact probe and the penetrometer, sorry, and see if there's some error linked with the design. So for this reason, we scan 386 soil sample from a USGA survey with our penetrometer and with the analytic spectrum device contact probe, commonly used in lab for visible near infrared spectrometer. Both sensors were connected to a field spec spectrometer, so the spectrometer was the same, and so we correlate the scan of these 386, and in the graph you can see the coefficient on the y-axis and all the wavelength on the x-axis, and the blue line is the reflectance, and it seems really highly correlated, the two scans. If you look at the first derivative, you see more fluctuation, and mostly in the area or the edge of the spectra, or here, where actually is the transition between detector inside the spectrometer. So this area usually are the more sensitive of signature or noise ratio, so we suspect that the penetrometer might have a lower signal to noise ratio, but this seems not affect the accuracy because the prediction of soil organic carbon is really similar. So with this in mind, we say, okay, we are ready for the field. And so the objective for this study was collect simultaneously visible near infrared spectra and insertion force to estimate clay content and bulk density. And as shown by Colling also, this attribute can give us insight of restricted layer that in our area, in the eastern Washington, is a really important factor that drives the hydrology of the field. And with the hydrology, it's also all the other process in the field. So we start with in situ field calibration. So we select 11 different sites, 5 located in the Palouse region, that is this area across the Washington and the Idaho state, and other 6 spread around the northwest. So for the Palouse site, we interrogate 36 profile in the site, while for the Pacific Northwest, 10 profile per site. At each site, we push the penetrometer twice, 1 meter apart, and on pulling out, we stop every 10 centimeter and we collect the spectra. And then we average this spectra to have a unique spectra. And then between the two pushes, we collect a core to calibrate the model. Then in the lab, we took this core. We slice 3 centimeters of the cores centered on the spectral depth, and we analyze for clay content and bulk density. So then the idea was to compare the different sample preparation for the penetrometer with the in situ, the intact core, and the normal dried, crushed, and sieved scan, and also the compare the penetrometer with the contact probe. The model was built by using the calibration was built by using all the sites, and then we validate taking out a core from the data set, from the data set. Yes. So in this way, each core we analyze 3 depth, the top, the bottom, and 1 random in the middle. So at the end, the sample size was 338. If we look at the comparison between the penetrometer and the contact probe for dry ground sample, we can see that they perform similarly. So the standard error prediction for clay content is a little less than 5. So it's really similar between the two. If we go to the sample preparation effect, we still see that the drying ground preparation is the one that performed better, but the in situ estimation is approaching. So there's a just difference of 0.5% of clay content. Meanwhile, the intact core actually is the one that performed poorly, because we think that we collect these cores on the dry season, and there was a lot of samples that were crumbled, and so we couldn't ensure a perfect contact between the contact probe and the soil. This problem of the dry sample crumble will be also something that we will see for the bulk density, unfortunately. So, for what concerns the insertion force, so know that the insertion force is function of different property of soil property, bulk density, clay content, soil moisture. So we would like to relate our insertion force with bulk density. So we run 2 field campaigns, one in the wet season to calibrate the model, and then on a dry season we want to map the in essential force. So in the wet season we went to the same 5 field that we selected for calibrate the visible part, and we interrogate in 161 profile. While in the dry season, we select 3 different field, and we create a grid of 50 meter by 50 meter, and we choose the other 12 or 36 location to for short lap distance. So these are really preliminary data, and what we see, unfortunately, most of the bulk density data, they were unreliable because they're crumbled, and so we couldn't really trust this data. What we see more is that the inertial force seems more consistent in capture at least the difference between density between horizon. So this during the wet season. And what we notice also that in some location the soil was too wet that the penetrometer didn't capture any difference. So it was just going straight down, no different in inertial force. I want to point it out that here the scale is between 0 and 100 Newton or 0 and 300 Newton. And so when we went on the dry season to map, we see that first of all the inertial force were much, the profile were much better. We didn't have any problem of no capturing difference between the horizon. So here, with all this point, we create the spline function for the profile. And then we use the model, a regression Kriging model, to create a 3D model of the resistance. With this model, we will be able to predict a different depth, the estimate a different depth, the insertion force. So I would like to point out, yes, the difference in the scale here is between 0 and 3500 Newtons. So if you look at how it's going down, you see how it's capturing where you have higher insertion force, and actually at 60, between 65 and 70, it seems that it captures really the layer, a possible restricted layer. So in conclusion, what we see is that our design perform comparable with AST contact probe in the lab. When we go in in situ, the clay prediction is not similar, is not exactly the same, but is approaching the accuracy of the normal lab standard in situ in vitro preparation. If then for the tip resistance, we have the feeling that is capturing the information of different density, and so is capable of detect restricting soil horizon. Of course, there more work to do. So we first of all we need better bulk density data to develop a model that estimate the bulk density from the insertion soil profile. Once we have this, we want to define the restricted layer based on clay content and bulk density. In this way, we will be able to map the restricted layer according to that, and this input can definitely help the hydrology to study the hydrology and to the to develop a model for hydrology in this area. Before, I would like to acknowledge all the person that work with me in this project: Dr. David Brown, Dr. Kelly Gash, and Dr. Ross Brickemeyer. With this, if anyone's.
Question for Matteo. Everybody did a great job describing it. That's some fun work. I got to go out and spend some time doing that. That's a good time. Oh, we did. Who?
This is I make the director.
So are you seeing the right here the hard pan layer? You think down there that you mentioned?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I could definitely see from when I was.
When you were taking the samples. So.
And actually, yes, it's capturing also the fact of. Here in this area, there was where usually is a draw part, where usually there's a runoff. Mm-hmm. So it was able to seriously to capture this.
Perfect.
So we are hoping for future.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.